The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up.
I know there's a tendency for us to sometimes feel like those short prayers aren't stacking up. I prayed, nothing happened. I prayed, nothing happened. I prayed, nothing happened.
And all I would say is yet.
Yet.
Mm. You don't know what God can do when you pile up those prayers and keep praying. You need a whole treasury of yet to be answered prayers.
When all you can muster is a short prayer, it's more than enough.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Belinda Lane joins me.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
It's good. Good to see you.
Did you get your prayers in today?
Whoo, I am ready to go.
You spent a lot of time on your prayers this
morning. You know, I made them quick and succinct.
Quick and succinct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's actually a very powerful thing. Mm-hmm. Today we're going to talk about prayer and the power of short prayers. That's the title of a book, a new book out now by Pastor Jensen Franklin, who joins us from Free Chapel in the Atlanta area. You got campuses all over, though, yeah?
We do. It's wonderful to be back. It's been a minute, and delighted to be back with you guys. Yeah, we're in the Atlanta area, and we have 8 campuses, and been there a while.
And a global outreach. I do know that.
Thank you.
I want people to know that. But let's talk about this idea of prayer, and I have tons of questions, but I kind of want to hear from you where this comes from.
Mm-hmm. Well, this book is really different. You know, every book that you write is it's an aspect of what's going on in your life, I think, and you need to feel pretty sure about what you're writing. But this one came as easy as any book as I've ever done, mm-hmm. to be honest, because it is a short book about short prayers. And I put 15 chapters, and they're only 5 pages each, because I wanted men to read it. and I wanted people to finish it, because these are the 15 prayers that over 40 years of preaching and 38 years of marriage and raising 5 children and building a ministry, these are the prayers I prayed over and over and over, prayers over my family, over our marriage, over our ministry, over our building programs. When we needed miracles in our lives, these are the prayers. And I found myself being so moved by these prayers, short prayers, that I began to pray them over and over and over until they became a part of my life. Mm. So I feel very passionate about this.
What I love about it is I think in some regard, believers tend to overcomplicate the idea of prayer.
You're right.
Because the mountain that's in front of them is so big, they feel like they have to have really eloquent big prayers to have that mountain moved, versus what you're saying here is sometimes the simplest, most heartfelt prayer is the most effective.
Yeah, the greatest miracles that Jesus did in the Bible were interruptions. I mean, you think about he only had 3 years to do his ministry. Mm-hmm. I know he lived to be 33, and 30 of those years he never preached a sermon or did anything spiritual other than be the God in skin, learning, feeling what we feel. But then there came the interruptions. He was always going somewhere. Every day was important. Only 3 years to build a worldwide organization that would bring the truth of life and eternal life to every human being that would believe. Mm-hmm. And yet people would come with a short prayer, whether it's 10 lepers, whether it's a woman with an issue of blood, or it's even little children. He allowed to interrupt his powerful purpose for a potential possibility when they prayed short prayers. You may feel like you're not important, that you don't know how to pray good, that you don't know how to pray these eloquent, theologically correct prayers. I don't think that's what God's looking for. He's looking for your heart cry.
Right.
And when you learn to pray passionate, purposeful prayers, Jesus would stop. The Bible said he would stop. He was going by blind Bartimaeus, and he stopped because he cried out with a short prayer.
Yeah.
And you may feel like God's so important and you're not, but the truth is He waits for us to pray, and it's not the long prayers, the short prayers a lot of times that cause Him to get that desire to send heaven's help.
Yeah, I think the easy trap that we fall into personally and certainly in religious systems is we're looking for the right word, almost as if it's, an incantation, or that if I just say this particular thing, and it can get real quickly if you're not careful into trying to manipulate God,
right,
which is a bad, bad place to be. How do we get past, the right prayer to say the effective prayer? Because we do want them to be effective.
When I think of what you're asking, it just feels like that to me, you go to Matthew 6, where the disciples said, teach us to pray. Mm-hmm. And before He gave them the greatest short prayer, 68
right.
words,
right.
Think of that. It should be volumes. I mean, if the master is going to right. teach people how to pray, that's an important moment. And He says, if you do this, if you pray this little outline right here, you'll cover your whole life. 68 words. But before He said that, a lot of people miss this, He gave them the negative side. Do not pray like the Pharisees and the hypocrites who think, He went on to say these words. This is what caught my attention for the book. Who think that by many words. It actually says that Jesus said those words. They think that by their many words, they will get their prayers answered.
Wow.
I don't want many words.
Wow.
I want to hear your heart. I want you to talk to me. And there's something about a short prayer that has an urgency.
It's true. Yeah.
You know, when you see a child running out in front of a car, a mother can just, Jesus, help my baby. Mm-hmm. And there's such passion and force. It's almost like you can have water coming out of a hose, but if you put your thumb on the end of that, it's that compressed and it's urgent and it's faith-filled and it's using the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that is where all prayers begin, is out of your own heart and experience. And you don't have to pray long. And I'm not against long prayer, but you'll never pray long prayers until you begin to pray short prayers a lot all day.
Yeah.
And if you would do that, this is where I am. I love the one thing that I've been consistent in more than anything else is prayer. I love prayer. I can't wait to get to my prayer place, and I love to walk and pray in the woods. But I pray all day. I think even before I came out here, under my breath, I said a short prayer.
Yeah.
Lord, help me, quicken me. You know the people that will be watching. Mm-hmm. And I just want to encourage people that the prayers that I put in this book are prayers that I prayed over my children every day. And Satan came for every one of them in one way or another. Mm-hmm. But when you pray and you stack up those prayers and you keep praying, I read something the other day, and there's a chapter in there where I talk about the treasury of snow and how that He compares snow in the Bible, and I don't have time to break it all down, but it is in the book, of how snow is compared to prayer. It's interesting that snow has 6 points, like the Star of David, a perfect Star of David, if you look at it, a snowflake under, and they catch each other. And one tiny snowflake's not going to make a difference on a highway, but if you get enough of them gathered together, they can drive a Mack truck off the road. And you may feel like the little prayers that you're praying over your babies when they're going to school, or the little prayers you're praying, short prayers for the healing of somebody that's going through chemo, or somebody on your heart that's addicted and bound, you're not wasting your time praying those short prayers. Just call their name and use the name of Jesus and begin to pray short prayers over them. And that accumulates. And that same text talks about the treasury of snow is for the day of battle and the time of trouble. This is Job chapter 38. So God stores up like a mountain peak. And then it goes on to say, and when the sun melts the mountain peak, the river begins to flow to the dry, fruitless areas of the valley. And many people feel like, well, I've been praying for my child and nothing's happening. But know that the best time to store up snow is when it's cold, when it's winter time. And when the season changes, if there's no snow, there'll be no flow of that life-giving river. But if you store it up, and I prayed some of these prayers literally for decades over my family and over the ministry, and I've seen God turn it from snow to a flow that brought life and life more abundantly.
Mm-hmm. There's like an amount of perseverance that you have to have in your walk with the Lord to pray prayers when you don't necessarily see anything changing at the moment, but knowing that every prayer is being accounted for. But going back to the idea of these shorter prayers and the way for me, when I think about it, almost brings like a little bit of freedom to think about it because life is heavy. As a mom that I carry and now a grandma, you know, and for me to be able to think, okay, I'm partnering with God even more on a daily basis because I can get used to these short prayers. What is your encouragement to the person watching today of, okay, I haven't seen the answered prayer, but I also kind of have always just compartmentalized prayer life into this. I go to my prayer closet, it's really long. I don't understand this day-to-day, minute-by-minute prayer life. How has that changed your life?
I think it's the invite that God looks for. You know, He said, acknowledge me. This is your part. This is your part of the deal. Acknowledge me in all of your ways. Mm-hmm. Not part of them, not some of them. And we used to have a saying, you know, why worry when you can pray? I believe this generation says, why pray when you can worry?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And you have to decide, are you going to be a worrier or a warrior? Are you going to be somebody who's going to pray about it or are you going to worry about it? And when you acknowledge Him in all of your ways, then God's part kicks into that deal. Mm-hmm. And I will direct your path. You do your part, acknowledge me. Lord, I'm so worried about my husband. He lost his job. Or I'm so worried about my baby. That teenager is getting around the wrong people. I've learned to pray short prayers about that. Say their name. Say something that moves you about them. If you've got a child or a loved one that is, or somebody on your heart today while you're watching this program and you worry all the time about them, the Lord invites you today to transform that worry into prayer and cast all your cares upon Him. He loves them more than you do. And when you pray, you're opening the door to God's supernatural deliverance. Mm-hmm. And again, the greatest miracles in the Bible. Elijah prayed a 64-word prayer and the fire fell and the whole nation of Israel was broken loose from the spirit of Ahab and Jezebel. 64-word prayer. Paul in Acts 16 prayed a 14-word prayer, and a woman who was bound with the occult and demon-possessed was completely set free. Mm. You don't know what God can do when you pile up those prayers and keep praying. When the breakthrough comes, it comes in ways that you couldn't see it.
Yeah. I think I have my personal favorite short prayer, and it was really something spoken to Jesus, but it ties into our culture, which in a lot of ways outside the church, they like to mock the idea of prayer, thoughts and prayers. I mean, you see it in social media just raked over the coals. Like, it's completely ineffective. It's worthless. What are you doing? You're wasting your time. And I know there's a tendency for us to sometimes feel like those short prayers aren't stacking up, that they're not doing it. I prayed, nothing happened. I prayed, nothing happened. I prayed, nothing happened.
And all I would say is yet. Well, you need a whole treasury of yet to be answered prayers, always building them up.
So what you're saying is so right, because we see it in Scripture, but we also see it in the testimonies of people like yourself. But it seems like anybody who's been through life and been through the trials, been through the tough seasons, you go, what? Prayer comes up at the top of the list every time. And so you'd think we would learn, which leads to my favorite short prayer. And I don't even know if this one's in the book, but it's like, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And I think that the practicing
so
of
good.
It ties into that, because you have to, we do believe in prayer, but yet we seem to have this little bit of unbelief because we don't stack them up. We don't
That was a prayer, and it's in the book that a father prayed over his son that was demon possessed.
Yeah.
And he said, it's the most honest prayer in the Bible.
I love it.
I love it, too. And I think that's why God was quick to release freedom to his son, is because, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's just honest.
Yeah.
I pray that a lot. I find myself,
as the complexity,
I'm going to pray for somebody who's in an intensive care unit, and the doctors have said it's over. And I know God is sovereign. We all understand all of that, and yet he invites us to pray.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a beautiful prayer to pray when you're saying, Lord, your will be done. I believe, but help my unbelief. Mm-hmm. And I think too, I can't help but think of the 9-word prayer of the thief on the cross.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He had never been to church. You may say, well, I know God won't hear my prayers. I don't deserve it. I've not done anything to earn it. This guy lived his whole life. He's dying on a cross beside Jesus. Jesus is dying for the world and the lost, and he stops everything. He hits the brakes when he hears one guy who's never been to church, never done it, never forgiven anybody, never done any. All he did was steal.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, remember me, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And when he prayed that short prayer, Jesus said, hold it. I'm going to hit the brakes on the whole kingdom of God right here. I've got to make sure this man is with me in paradise today.
Yeah.
He heard that prayer, and he'll hear your prayer today. Yeah. I don't care who you are. You don't have to earn it. If you'll call out to God, even a prayer of honesty, like you were saying, God, if you're real, God, if you're real, if Jesus, if you're the Savior, I need you to help my family. We're broken. We need help. We can't, my son is being held with drugs or whatever. Yeah. Begin to invite God into that and watch him move.
Back to the thief on the cross. In the book, I love, you wrote something I have never thought about before. You said that we talk about remember me.
Yes.
Remember me.
Yes.
And that you compared that to what dismember means.
Right.
To dismember something means to tear it apart, to separate it.
Yes.
So when he was saying, remember me, he was actually asking, will you put me back together? Will you restore me? Mm. I'd never heard it like that before.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
And it was the cry of Adam, who was separated from God in the Garden of Adam, and in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were separated after they sinned. So they were dismembered from the body. An angel with a flaming sword said, you can't come here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But here Jesus is saying, I'm going to remember. Mm-hmm. And you'll be the first one. You'll be the Adam of the new covenant. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to remember my lost family to the kingdom of God.
Beautiful.
So beautiful. So beautiful. Okay. There's some of you out there right now. You're thinking about prayer. You may have already said a short prayer. It's okay to pray with others. And we have people right now that are standing by that would love to pray with you. And it may be a very short prayer. Again, it's not the length. It's not the words. It's the heart. And so if you want to call that number, we'd love to say a little prayer with you, remember you in our prayers. And then those of you that have helped us for so many years with people in dire situations, many of you have prayed. And I want to say, please continue. Let's stack up those prayers, because as we deal with these situations in other countries that are very difficult, we pray and we know that God is moving. And yet we also see that not yet aspect to a lot of things. And that's why we invite you into action. I'm going to show you an opportunity. It is an opportunity for prayer, so we ask for that. It is also an opportunity for action. And if you feel like you're to take action, we ask you to join us in this outreach. And by the way, if you want Pastor Jensen Franklin's book, The Power of Short Prayers, we'd love to send it to you when you support this outreach. So watch this, pray about it, and if God puts it on your heart, take action. This is a great opportunity. We need to hear from you.
I'm John Yates, Director of World Missions for Life Outreach International. An estimated 200,000 children are born each year with a condition called clubfoot that can affect one or both feet. If left untreated, it's a debilitating disease for a child. I'd like you to meet a young man named Evance, born with clubfoot.
I faced some challenges when it was time for me to go to school. Sometimes I'd miss school because of the pain that I was encountering. When I forced myself to go to school, some of my friends welcomed me, while others refrained from me.
Looking back at Evans's life, comparing to how he is today, I am very happy. I had to encourage him to persevere and be strong in whatever he might face. Looking at how he is now, I am so proud of him for passing through the hardships, and I am very appreciative.
I really want to thank your hospital for their help. They have really helped me so much.
What an amazing smile on Evance's face. That smile is a direct result of God-given surgeons who are dedicating their lives to supporting children with debilitating diseases just like Evance. Without this medical mission outreach, he would suffer the rest of his life.
Right now, there are so many more children desperately waiting for corrective surgery. When you support Life's medical missions, you'll be helping to provide those surgeries that turn suffering into healing, and healing into hope for a brighter future.
Man, it's almost hard to believe when you see something like that.
I know. The feet turned almost the opposite direction, and imagine the pain that that even creates, and to know that we have partnered with someone that actually can change their life forever.
Well, and it's happened, and this is not something where we're wishing we could do, we hope we could do. This is something that we're doing with our partners there at CURE, and that's, I think that's a key point for me. It requires a partnership.
It does.
We can't do it without them. They can't do it without us. They can't do more without the renovation that we want to do. But we can't do it without the support of viewers just like you. You have made this possible in the past. Many of you watching right now have made things like this possible. We're coming to you again because we want to do more, because the joy on the faces of those children, whether it's something to do with their legs and now they can walk again, or like the cleft palate or cleft lip and now they can smile for the first time. It's such a beautiful thing that I love doing this. I count it a privilege.
And I think it's important to note, if you are watching and if you can do something, the hospital that can do these surgeries is at capacity.
Yeah.
And it needs to expand. And I think another important thing too, Randy, is for them to understand these surgeries do not cost these families anything. Mm. And so the generous gifts that we give help pay for the surgeries, help pay for the expansion. Like the work is really, really powerful.
Oh, it is. And it's not just a work of a medical work. It is, obviously, you can see that. It is a spiritual work. We pray with people that come in to this hospital. This facility in Zimbabwe that we're talking about right now, it's a $600,000 renovation and expansion, because as Belinda said, we are at capacity, but there is a long line of children that need help. And again, the doctors are there, and they're faithful Christian men and women, doctors and nurses from all over. They just need us to say, yeah, we'll let you do more. And here's how you let them do more. You come alongside us right now as we expand the operating rooms and the recovery areas. Continue, as Belinda said, at no cost to offer these life-changing surgeries to these children in need. We have different giving levels that we're asking. $126 is a suggested level, $1,026 for those of you who can do that. But it's really, let's just reach that goal. Some of you could put us towards that goal quickly. Others of you, it may seem like a long way, but that's the beauty of partnership. When we all do our part, that's how amazing things happen. I think about that little boy that said, I just have a few fish, a few loaves, but Lord, I give them to you. And thousands of people were fed that day. Will you come alongside us right now? Will you partner in this outreach of love and of mercy and grace? go to the phone or go online, make the best gift you can. Let's make this hospital renovation a reality.
Many children in Africa are born with severe deformities or suffer life-altering injuries. Conditions like club feet, windswept legs, and untreated fractures force them to live in pain because help is out of reach. But you can offer healing today. Our mission partner in Zimbabwe runs a children's hospital, now at capacity, and in urgent need of renovation and expansion. With a $600,000 goal and only a short period of time to raise the necessary funds, your best gift today helps children receive the surgical care they need at no cost to the families. Together, we can heal precious lives and reveal the love of Jesus. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you the Global Impact of Life Journal. Featuring inspiring photos from life's outreaches, this beautiful journal is a reminder that your prayers and partnership are making a global difference. With your gift of $126 or more, you may request a Life of Compassion coffee table book, capturing Life Outreach's heart for the world. Each page pairs timeless Bible verses with vivid mission field photography, making God's Word visible in action. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,026 to help with the expansion of operating rooms so children are no longer turned away, and request Life's beautiful bronze sculpture, The Good Shepherd. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Hey, let's get this done. We really need you. Please go to the phone or go online. Give the best gift you can. And when you do today, we really would like to bless you with this fabulous book, The Power of Short Prayers. Blenda, I think this is going to bless people.
I mean, it's awesome. I have read almost all of it, and it is so good. Pastor Jensen, thank you for being here. We are excited to talk more about it. Would you join us for another show so we can dive in more?
I would love to. Let's do it. I've enjoyed being here, and I just want to say how much I appreciate what this ministry has done in the world. I've seen it firsthand, and you're changing lives, feeding the hungry, caring for the orphan and the widows, and that's pure and undefiled religion.
Yeah. Well, thank you. We appreciate that, and we appreciate all you. We can't do without you. Come back for more next time with Jensen Franklin. We'll see you again in Life Today.
Whether it was the bottom of a bottle of alcohol or a bottom of a bag of drugs, wherever I could try to find that reality is where I was looking.
Chad Prather, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.